Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. In previous lessons, I spent a lot of time talking about classes because they're so integral to .NET. In fact, just about everything you do in .NET somehow involves a class. And we talked about how the .NET framework class library is just a collection of classes. Some are related to each other through inheritance, and you leverage all the code in the library to do cool stuff, and you don't have to worry about writing all that code on your own because Microsoft has already spent tens of thousands of man hours writing that code that you can just borrow from. And that was really the purpose of learning more about inheritance in the previous lesson. Now, because I really want you to understand how the .NET Framework class library was put together and how it works, and most of all, how you can get the most out of it, I want to talk about one final topic related to all this, and that is to better understand how the code is organized and how to access code that just isn't added by default to your project. So we're going to talk about namespaces, and we're going to talk about assemblies, and we'll talk about adding references to external assemblies using the IDE. So first of all, within the .NET Framework base class library, all the classes are organized into namespaces. Now think of a namespace as a last name for classes. So my first name is Bob, but there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of Bobs in the small town in which I live. If somebody were to say, Bob likes coffee, if you didn't know who they were talking about, you might say, well, which Bob? There's like 10 billion Bobs in the world, right? So if they reply with my full name, Robert Theron Tabor, that's a pretty unique name. You should have a pretty good idea who they're talking about at that point. I'm pretty sure that my last name and middle name combination are unique, so that might only identify one person in the entire world. So the same is true with the classes in the .NET Framework class library. With tens of thousands of classes in the library, it's possible that a single name is shared by more than one class. However, by using the namespace of the class, it removes the ambiguity. While you might know which version of the class you intended to use, the C# compiler, as it tries to make sense of your code and parses through it to create an executable file, it tries to resolve your reference to each class that it knows about. And we saw a few lessons ago that when we typed in the word stream reader in the IDE, let us know that it didn't recognize that class name. So when the compiler is confused, it stops immediately, and it forces you to explain further what you meant by that, and we call that a compilation error. So when you reference classes, you can use their entire name, their full name, like Robert Theron Tabor, except for classes, or you can use shortcuts. And so let's talk about both of those. I'm going to start by creating a new project. So let's go File, New Project, and this time I'm going to call this namespaces and referencing assemblies. Kind of a long one there. All right, so if I wanted to reference the stream reader class like we did previously, I could do something like this. System.io.streamReader, my stream reader equals new system.io.streamReader. All right, so notice that, first of all, we have system, and that's a top-level namespace that many other namespaces and classes belong to. And then you have the IO namespace, so you can contain namespaces within namespaces. This contains namespaces that deal with in and out, or rather getting data into and out of the application. And then StreamReader is the class name itself. So you might be thinking, wow, that's one really long line of code. Do I have to memorize all that? And frankly, most developers rely on using statements to shorten the amount of code that they have to write. A using statement provides access to all the namespaces and classes that belong to it so that you don't have to type it all out. You're telling the compiler, hey, I'm using these namespaces, so before you complain, please check these namespaces first to ensure that the class I'm referencing here in my code belongs to one of them. And if you can't find it there, then go ahead and complain. Okay, so you'll notice at the very top of our code file, and we've always had this as a result of the project template that we use whenever we set out to create File New Project, it automatically creates by default a number of using statements. So the project template is adding these as a convenience so that you don't have to add them yourself. Now you can remove using statements that you don't think you're ever going to need, and you can add new ones to this list. But frankly, there's no real reason, no practical reason to remove using statements that you know you don't need. The code is going to compile the same regardless of whether there are extra using statements or not. Okay, so some developers prefer to keep this list tidy so that they know when looking at the code exactly what's going on. And so removing unused using statements help them comprehend the code a little bit better. And you can decide if that's something you prefer to do once you get a little bit more experience. All right, so let's do this. I want to comment this line of code out and start over. So suppose that I know that I want to use a class called StreamReader in the .NET Framework base class library. And so I'm going to type in the word StreamReader. But as you can see, the word does not appear in IntelliSense. Also, when I finish typing the word, it's underlined with a red squiggly line. So this doesn't bode well. Right now, our application or the IDE doesn't recognize or it's not able to resolve the name StreamReader because we have not referenced its full name. However, there's a glimmer of hope. If you look below the S, there's a blue dash beneath it, and this means that there is a contextual menu available. Now, there's a couple of different ways I can go about doing this. Let me show you the long way to do it, and that is to take my mouse cursor and to hover it over the blue area here. All right, there we go. And as I hover over the icon, a little drop-down menu arrow appears, and when I click it, you can see that it brings up an option to include a using system.io statement. So I'm going to click on that with my mouse, and notice now that it adds using system.io. And furthermore, as I continue typing here, the red line will eventually go away. There we go. Okay, it just took a little time for the IDE to catch up with what we were doing. Okay, so we basically added a shortcut. We added a using statement saying, hey, if you get confused about StreamReader, take a look in all of these namespaces and it'll eventually resolve to system.io.StreamReader. Okay, so let me delete that and show you another way to go about doing all this. Start over. This is a better approach because your hands don't have to leave the keyboard. So again, I know I need StreamReader. I just may not remember, first of all, if I already have a using statement that includes the StreamReader's namespace, or I may not even remember which namespace StreamReader is in. So I can do this. StreamReader, again, it underlines it with the red squiggly line saying I can't find this. I see the little blue dash under the S. And so now I'm going to hold down the control key and the period on my keyboard, control, period. And it pops open that little menu like we saw earlier. Now all I have to do is use the arrow keys on my keyboard to select the option I want to choose. I can have it type out the full name of the class, or I can add a using statement. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to hit the enter key on my keyboard. And now I can continue typing and I don't have to ever touch the mouse. So again, that is the control and the period on your keyboard, and that will pop open that little contextual menu. All right, let's go ahead and finish this. And notice that I didn't have to type a lot once I had already declared StreamReader and IntelliSense knew the remainder after I just typed in the first letter S. Okay. All right, so there is a small downside to relying on the using statements. Occasionally, you'll attempt to use a class name in the framework class library, but then you'll get this mysterious error that says something about there being an ambiguity. And the reason is because you'll have two using statements that both happen to have the class in question with the same name in it. So in that case, you merely have to type out some or all of the full namespace in order to get your code working again. So just be aware of that. So one last tip, if you need to look for help on a given class name or method name, sometimes in the search engine that you choose, you might want to add the entire namespace. Otherwise, you might be looking in the help on MSDN or on a blog post or something. that refers to the wrong class. It'll be a class from a different namespace. So just be aware of that. To get the correct help, you want to type in the full namespace into your search engine. Okay, so before we close this discussion of namespaces, I want to point out three additional things and then we'll move on. First of all, every single class that you write, whether it's part of the program.cs file like we've done here, or a custom class file, or in an ASP.NET web page or a Windows form, will be contained inside of a namespace. Now, we've glossed over the namespace declaration like this one here in all the projects that we've created up until now, but it's always been there at the top level of the code that we write. The default namespace will be the name of your project. For simple applications, you might never ever need to modify or add additional namespaces. Secondly, you can set the default namespace in the project properties. So all you have to do is just right click and select properties, and it'll bring open a property window in the main area. And you can see here at the top, you can change the default namespace from the name of the project to something else. Now, while the technique is easy enough, the reason why you would ever want to do this is a little bit more advanced. So for the sake of keeping this topic simple, I'm going to encourage you to revisit this idea after you are a bit more experienced in software development, okay? And then third, likewise, you can create new namespaces on your own. Again, the technique is very simple, but the reason why you want to choose to do this might be a little bit more advanced. Again, if you set out to build large software applications and you need to organize your code into namespaces, it'll become more important to you to understand the technique and why you need to do that. Okay, so let's move on from here. I'm going to go ahead and just close everything out, at least, and save what I've got. And I'll even comment out this line of code. Okay, so the next important topic related to code organization is that in an effort to keep the .NET Framework class library manageable, Microsoft broke up all of those tens of thousands of classes of code into a few dozen files. So if you had to load up just one monstrous assembly that contained every single class that Microsoft created for use within the .NET Framework class library, most of which you'll never use, each and every time you ran a .NET application, it would take up the entire computer's memory, maybe. I don't know. But it certainly wouldn't be very prudent to do that from a memory perspective. It might even slow down the application to have so much available to it. So instead, they put related functionality across many different namespaces into assemblies. So when you create a new project, and we go to File, New Project, and you can see there's all these different templates. The template for a given project includes references to several core assemblies by default. So if I were to build for example, a WPF application, that project template will include additional references to assemblies that help you build Windows-style applications as opposed to web page style applications. And more about that later. If you were to look in the Solution Explorer, off to the side here, you'll see this References folder. And if I were to expand that, you can see the assemblies that have been added by default, that are referenced by default whenever we create a console window application. You can even see, in some cases, they will show you the path where that actual DLL is stored. So here's one for the C# language itself. There's some core features of .NET that are stored there. If you're working with XML data, all the classes that you would work with to work with XML are in that file, in that path on your hard drive, and so on. Okay. So what happens when you realize that you need a part of the .NET Framework class library that hasn't already been added to your project? You have to add a reference to that assembly. In fact, that's not only true for assemblies that are created by Microsoft and are part of the .NET Framework class library, but it's true of third-party assemblies that you want to use in your applications, whether they're commercial products or open source libraries, or even libraries of business rules that are specific to your company or organization. You have to first add a reference to the assembly in the project so that when you reference the namespace and the class names, it'll know which files to look in the actual to look for in to find the actual code implementation. So since I want to keep this example as simple as humanly possible, I've created a tiny library file assembly of my own that I want to use in this example. So you can find this wherever you've downloaded the code for this lesson. You should be able to find it in this case in I have it in the C9CS_17 folder, and there might be some additional files later after I record this video, but you'll see that there is a tabor.dll file. It has a namespace of Tabor, it has one class in it called Bob, and it has one method in that class called lookup, and that lookup method will accept a single input parameter, should be a URL as a type string, and if you give it a URL, say for my website, it will then go out to my website and download all the HTML and print out that HTML, just the file won't render it actually, it won't look like a web page, it'll just look like a bunch of HTML, okay, in the console window. So let's do that right now. What I want to do is I'm going to right click and select add reference on the references folder. Okay, so I'm going to right click on references and select add reference, and the add reference dialog pops up, and you can see there's several tabs at the top of this window. There are all of the assemblies that are available from the .NET Framework class library. As you can see, there are literally dozens of assemblies here for various purposes. Some are used to build Windows Presentation Foundation applications, some for Windows Forms applications, some for ASP.NET web form applications, and some are for various things like drawing things to the screen and for logging information, printing, and things of that nature. Okay. Now what I need to do is to go over here to the browse, because I have this in a folder and I want to find on my hard drive the C9CS17 folder where I have that tabor.dll, and click OK. And now you can see in my references, I actually have a reference to that assembly. It will copy that assembly into my debug and release directories in my bin directory whenever I go to compile it. Okay, so now if I want to use this class, I would go, for example, Bob, and it will give me that little underscore there. If I hit control period on my keyboard, it'll say, do you want to add the using Tabor statement? Yes, let's do that. So now I can go Bob, my Bob equals new Bob. Kind of weird to say that. Okay, so my Bob.lookup, and you can see it takes a URL, so let's give it in fact, since this returns a string, I should be able to do something like this. Console.WriteLine. There we go. And then I'll just wrap that around that. And then I'll do a console.ReadLine. Okay. And so now if I run the application, it will use the code. It went out to the internet. It used the code in the library that I created, goes out to the internet, and then downloads all the HTML for my web page. Now, some of it gets clipped off the top because of the amount of information you can show in the console window, but you get the idea. Okay, so to recap, we learned how classes are organized into namespaces to help disambiguate class names, or rather to avoid name collisions between two classes that are named exactly the same thing. Then we talked about the using statement that allows us to shorten the full name of a class by telling the compiler that it should first attempt to resolve all class names against those namespaces that we've added into the using section of our code file. And then I demonstrate how to use the IDE to help find namespaces for classes that we want to use within our application. Using that little menu, I was able to do it with the mouse and using the control and period technique on my keyboard. And then we talked about how code is packaged into assemblies, and that when you create a new project from a template, part of the job of the template is to add references to commonly used assemblies. The .NET Framework class library is so large that it wouldn't make sense to add a reference to every single namespace and every single class all at once. However, if you need something from the library, you may need to add a reference to an external library. Additionally, many companies have created their own libraries of code, just like I did, and we added a reference to it a moment ago. So if you go to work for them, you might have to reference their assembly, which encapsulates all of the business logic necessary for them to do business in a certain area. Okay. Also, there are third-party vendors. There's open source projects that provide libraries that you might want to use within your application. So this is a vital skill to have. In these cases, you have to add a reference to the assembly that contains the given library of code that you want to utilize. All right. So next up, we're going to talk about the mysterious private and public keywords that we've seen, but I've ignored them intentionally up to now. We'll discuss that in the next lesson. Thank you.